Our study this morning can be found in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. In fact, we'll be just looking at verses 14 through 17 this morning. Last week, we discussed three ways one could tell if they were walking in the Spirit. We said you would be spiritually minded, and our text was verses 5 through 8. Your thoughts, your affections should be after God. Secondly, we said that you would be spiritually manifested. I mean, the Spirit of God should be seen in you, manifested in your walk, in your talk. Verses 9 and 11. And then thirdly, we said, you're going to be spiritually mortifying. You'll be putting to death that old man, the old deeds of that old man. Verses 12 and 13. Putting off the old, putting on the new. Well, these next verses are not only going to give us a better understanding of what it means to be mortifying the deeds of the body, but they're also going to reveal to us some of the blessings that you and I can receive when we walk after the Spirit. How does God bless us when we walk after the Spirit? Well, listen, when we walk after the Spirit, we're going to be blessed with spiritual aid. We're going to be blessed with spiritual access and with spiritual assurance. Let's look at these three points individually now. First of all, we're going to be blessed with spiritual aid. What am I talking about? Well, the Spirit leads with the end result that we are the sons of God. Verse 14, Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, who's the one who aids us? It's the what? Holy Spirit. Did you see the verb, are led? It's in the present passive indicative, which means action is coming from out upon us, working in us. It exists and it continues to exist. So we could translate it something like this. We are being led. It's interesting to note, the Spirit of God is leading and not driving us as his sheep, leading us. Now, the Spirit, it does convict. The Spirit, it does convince the sheep, his sheep, to follow after him. Listen to these words out of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, verse 23. Ezekiel word is, now these words are concerning the national salvation of Israel, how he's going to save them lock, stock, and barrel, all right? He writes, and I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Will put, will cause you. Earlier this morning, I had you read how the Spirit of God reproves, convicts, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. There in John chapter 16, verse 8. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, the Apostle Paul, he says this, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is upon me if I preach not the gospel. How did God persuade the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel? How is it God persuades you and I to come to him and to do his good pleasure? How is that possible? Well, he uses the scriptures and he uses suffering. That's what he did with the Apostle Paul. Paul had heard in Acts chapter 7 the scriptures. He'd heard it before that in many ways. He knew the Old Testament. He had the scriptures. But the scriptures were not enough to draw Saul unto the Lord. He resisted. Many of us in this room, we resisted. God was trying to lead us by the scriptures. I had many talk. talk to me about the scriptures, about trusting in Jesus. But I resisted. Many of you did too. So what's the next instrument that God uses to lead us? Suffering. For Saul, he became what? Blind. Blind. And God would use his blindness not only to give him physical light, but also the spiritual light when Ananias would minister the gospel unto him. Now, I say these things to you because I want you to understand when I read to you 1 Corinthians 9:17. I'm talking about how God leads. He leads us in salvation. He leads us in sanctification in our Christian walk. It's the Spirit that does the leading. And he'll use the scriptures, but he'll also use suffering. 1 Corinthians says this. Paul says, you know, if I do this thing willingly, that is, he's preaching the gospel, I've got a reward. If I do it against my will, there's a dispensation. There's a stewardship of the gospel committed unto me. I submit to you that just as Paul could follow God willingly or unwillingly, God could be led of the Spirit willingly or unwillingly. Likewise, you and I can be led willingly or unwillingly. If we willingly follow the Spirit, we will receive a greater reward versus if he has to drag us through some form of suffering. Two primary ways God led Paul, he leads us. Scriptures, suffering. Let me show you about the scriptures, all right? This is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God lays out to us the scriptures. He leads us with the scriptures. Now, we can resist or we can follow. If we resist, then God will up it, and he will bring the suffering. Hebrews 12, verse 5. And you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto my children, my son. Despise not, don't take lightning the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. What comes next? If you despise, if you take lightly God's scriptures, when he speaks to you softly and gently, well, then comes the spanking. Then comes the whack with the rod. Imagine, you know, he sees his sheep and he can say to his sheep, he calls them by name, come on, let's go, follow me. If the sheep willingly follow, they're blessed. They come to the nice green pastures. They come to the nice stream of cool water. But if he starts out and there's one that's down there and he's not coming and he calls him by name and he doesn't come, he has a purpose for that crook, doesn't he, his hand? He comes down and he gives him a little nudge. Well, that's what God does in our life. If you and I are led by the Spirit, we are called the sons of God. But I'm telling you, you can come willingly or you can come unwillingly. The real blessing is when you and I willingly follow the Holy Spirit. Now, look at your very first purpose on your sheet. Because the Spirit of God usually speaks before he spanks, I purpose to listen real closely to his call and willingly follow his leading. Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6. Now, how can you tell if you're following the Spirit of God willingly? Well, one of the ways that you can tell is by your fruit, by your works. Come over with me, keeping your marker here in Romans, but come over to me to Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. Let's take a look at Galatians 5. This will help you know, yes, I am indeed following the Spirit of God. And because I follow the Spirit of God, I have the confidence I am the Son of God. You know, you can be a joyful sheep or you can be a disgruntled sheep. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I'm reading now in Galatians 5. Let's begin our reading with verse 13. For brethren, so you see he's talking to Christians, ye have been called unto liberty. Okay, we got a lot of liberty in grace, right? Faith through Christ. Only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So in the church, you can see different ones need to be admonished that we don't walk in the flesh, but we walk into what? Spirit, that we're led by the Spirit. He's writing these verses to Christians. He's writing these verses to the church. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Wow, what is that? Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh, but if you bite and you devour one another, hey, do you have any biting and devouring in the family this week? In the church? Take heed that you be not consumed one of another. It's interesting, I was thinking about different situations, but, you know, different people will expect certain responses from other individuals. You know, we have our expectations, expect them. But we don't pay any attention when we get a harsh, mean word. Or we get a response that we don't want or we don't like to reflect upon ourselves in the fact that, am I reaping what I sow? Am I reaping what I sowed? And did you see what it says? And take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, here's the key. Man, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, how can you tell? Well, here's some of the walks of the flesh. You ready? Now, we see the war. The flesh is lusting against the Spirit. We see the Spirit lusting against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so you cannot do the things that you would. We talked about that already, didn't we, in chapter 7 of Romans. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, here are the works of the flesh. There's adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, all kinds of moral impurity. There's idolatry, witchcraft. Then here's the biggest one, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. And then the last group, drunkenness and revelings. And such like, of the which I tell you before, and I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All right, that's the fruit of the flesh, all right? But what is the fruit of the Spirit? How do you know you're being led of the Spirit? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, did you bear witness of those things this week? Because if you did, you've got some confidence that you were being led of the Spirit and not led of the flesh. And they that are Christ, they have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Crucify them. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Well, listen, look at your purpose on your sheet. You know what? I purpose to examine the fruit of my life to see if I'm indeed being led of the Spirit, because that's what we're talking about. Because if we're being led of the Spirit, we're going to be richly rewarded. And one of those rewards is that we're going to be called the sons of God. We're going to be called the sons of God. So how can you tell that you're following the Spirit of God willingly? Well, you can tell by what you're putting off and what you're putting on. Are you putting off the old works of the flesh and putting on the fruit of the Spirit? Therefore, look at your purpose here on your sheet. I purpose to bear witness. I'm being led by the Spirit by what I am putting off and what I'm putting on. What do you purpose today to put off? You know what you ought to put off. What am I purposing to put on? Let's just for a moment talk about our mouth, because that's the biggest thing. James tells us, how easy is it for you to control that tongue? Not easy, is it? All right, watch what we read by Paul in the book of Ephesians. Things that we should be putting off just concerning his mouth and what we ought to be putting on. Listen to what he says. Let no corrupt, no hurtful, no rotten communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. So we're told in admonishing, put off bad speech. He goes on, he says this, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then he says this, okay, what are we to put on? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want to give you a little caution right now. See, there's some people who maintain that they're being led by a divine spirit, when in reality, they're being led by a demonic spirit. How can you know? What's the answer? How do you know if you're walking with the Spirit of God or if you're walking with some evil spirit? I mean, after all, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, John tells us we are to try the spirits. He says it like this, Beloved, talking to Christians, Beloved, believe not every spirit. Oh, I'm being led by God. I'm being led by God's Spirit. I've had, over my 42 years of ministry, I can't tell you how many people have told me they're being led of God, and it was not God who was leading them. And there's a reason why I knew, but let me read on. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. How is it that you and I can try the spirits? A person is not being led by the Spirit of God to do something that's contrary to the Word of God. When someone tells you they're being led of God to divorce so-and-so, this sound should come out in the Malachi 3. Why? Because it goes contrary to the Word of God. So, look at your purpose. Before following the Spirit, I purpose to try the Spirit with the Word of God to see if it indeed is the Spirit of God. You and I need to be led of the Spirit. You and I indeed need to follow along the Spirit, and we all do so willingly. But before you just go and follow it, you try it to make sure that it's of God and not of the evil one. All right, so what's the blessing for following the Spirit of God? Listen to these words out of 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, I put down this purpose. I purpose to give thanks to the Lord because I'm a son of God. There's nothing like you and I following the Spirit of God to give us confidence that we are indeed the sons of God. But turn back with me now to Romans chapter 8. Now we're blessed with spiritual aid. It's God, the Holy Spirit, who aids us, leads us, guides us, directs us, all right? With the end result that we're called the sons of God. But look at that second point. We are blessed with spiritual access. I'll tell you, the Spirit liberates with the end result that we're called and we are the adopted sons of God. Look at verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And then verse 16 says, the Spirit itself, it beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In this verse 15, we discover what we have not received, and then we rediscover what we have received. Okay, we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And may I say to you this morning, both unsaved and saved people can fear. Now, let me show you how unsaved people fear. I'm turning over to Hebrews. If you want to listen to it, fine. If you want to see it yourself, please turn there. Hebrews chapter 2. Listen to these verses. Hebrews 2, verse 14 says this. He says, Hebrews 2, 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil. Christ destroyed the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, who are them? He delivered them who through fear of death, the unsaved. Christ with his death, those who would put their faith in him, they would be free from the fear of death. Why is it that an unsaved man will attempt anything and everything to lengthen his life? Because that's all he's what? That's all he's got. Man, he's afraid of dying. Maybe he's even afraid of what's going to happen after he dies. Many do. But not only do the unsaved fear death, but so don't the saved fear death. Turn with me to, you know what? I'm going to read that to you later, so I won't have you turn there. But it's 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. Paul has made it very clear here in this passage in Romans that those who are in Christ Jesus, they're no longer in bondage to the sin nature. That was Romans 6, okay? No longer. That master-slave relationship, man, it's been broken. Therefore, a Christian should not be submitting themselves unto it again and thus put themselves in a place of fearing once again. Because, well, we'll see it. What is it that you and I fear when it comes to being judged? When do you and I fear being judged? Do we fear being judged when we're doing right? We fear being judged when we're doing wrong. And that's the whole gist of John chapter 4. We'll look at that, as I said, in a few minutes. But look at your two purposes right now. Because, this is for the unsaved, because I fear being judged as an unbeliever for all eternity, I purpose by faith to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. All right, so if you're an unsaved person, you need to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. But now, let's talk about those Christians in this room that fear. Because I fear being judged as a disobedient Christian, I purpose to refuse to submit my body and its members unto the bondage of sin. You and I begin to fear when we walk after the flesh rather than after the Spirit. We need to be led of the Spirit. It eliminates fear. Galatians 5:1 says this, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. All right, so we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's the first thing we see here in this verse. Whoa. But we have not received that spirit of bondage to fear. What have we received? We've received, this verse tells us, the spirit of adoption. Now, I want to read to you the work of the Father in the aspect of adopting us. You ready for this? Ephesians 1, 5. Having, this is talking about the Father, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. According to God's good pleasure, he adopted us. He chose us be wonderfully and gloriously adopted as his sons and daughters. That's the work of the Father. What about the work of the Son? Well, listen to this. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 6. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. God the Father's work was to predestine us. God the Son's work was to redeem us with the shedding of his blood on the cross. All right, so God the Father, he predestines his children. God the Son redeems those who are his children. God the Spirit bears witness that we are his children. He says in Romans 8:15, he says, but you've not received the spirit of bondage. No, you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we say, Abba, Father. Now, in Paul's day, when this letter was written, to be adopted carried with it all the privileges of a natural child. An adopted child was not considered just a secondary member of the family. They had all the rights and the privileges of a natural child. Because God has adopted us as his children, with the rights of his children, he's saying we ought to address him as Abba. Abba, that's the Aramaic term for father. It was the term used by small children when referring to their father. Now, what do small children today call their fathers? You can hear, call them what? Daddy, pops, papa. All right. It's a term of endearment. And in fact, this was a term that Jesus used in the garden when he says this. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus used that term in addressing the one who he had total confidence that he could and would do that which was best. Notice your purpose. You know what? I'm on a purpose to thank the Lord that God the Spirit, he bears witness with my spirit that I've been adopted into God's family. Thus, I can address him as Abba, Father. Now, we've been blessed with spiritual aid. We've been blessed with spiritual access. But now, thirdly and finally, we see that we've been blessed with a spiritual assurance. Look at verses 16 and 17. The Spirit itself, it beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Wow. How does the Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are called the children of God? Well, I submit to you one of the first ways he does so is with our conscience. Listen as I read to you Romans 2:15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean either while accusing or excusing one another. The Holy Spirit will work with our conscience, and it will either accuse us or excuse us. Yes, that's good. You can do that. No, you shouldn't do that. So the Spirit, it works through our conscience, convicting us of what's right and wrong, and convincing us that we're doing right or wrong. Listen to Romans 9:1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continuous sorrow in my heart. In that passage, Paul was bearing witness that he had a great compassion and love for his lost brethren. And he's saying, the Spirit bears witness with my conscience that I am indeed brokenhearted for them. God's Spirit works through our conscience. enhancing our love for others. But it's not only bears witness, the Spirit not only bears witness in our conscience, but the Spirit bears witness through our understanding. What am I talking about? 1 Corinthians 2:12 says this, "Now we received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." One of the ways the Spirit bears witness to you and I that we are His children is that you and I can read and understand the Word of God. I'm dealing with someone right now that says, it doesn't do me any good to read. I can't understand it. Well, there might be a reason why they can't understand it. Now, this is a professing believer. But one of the evidences that God's Spirit bears witness of our spirit is that we can understand what we read in the Word of God. But there's a third way that the Spirit of God bears witness with us that we are adopted. How? Well, by our obedience. Our obedience. Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto an unfeigned love for the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. It's when you and I hear and heed and purify our souls in obeying the Word of God, God's Spirit gives us assurance that we are His adopted children. Now, part of obeying God's Word is to love His children. And by so doing, God's Spirit assures us that we're His children. Let me take you over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And here's one more aspect how the Spirit bears witness with us, okay? That we are His adopted children. It is that we have love for the Lord and we have no fear of others. We have no fear of judgment. Listen to it as I read to you. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 11 says this, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another," watch this next phrase, underline it, "God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." You want to know how the Spirit of God dwells within you? You want to know if you're being led of the Spirit? Love for the brethren. Let's read on. "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him," underline that phrase. We're wanting to know if we dwell in God, does God dwell in us? "Hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us because He's given to us His Spirit." All right, so we got the Spirit. Now watch, read on. "And we have seen and we do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." We testify. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth," underline it again, "God dwelleth and He in God." God dwells in Him and He in Him. How do you know? By their confession. They're not fearful of men. They will share Christ saves with others. We'll love others. We'll keep the commandments in loving others. We'll confess Jesus Christ to others. But whereas there's no fear in confessing Christ, there's also no fear of judgment. Let's read on. "And we have known and believed the love of God hath to us." God's love. Here we go again. "He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God that sent him." Here it is. It's all about love. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." No fear about judgment. "Because as He is, so are we in the world." There's no fear in love. "But perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. And he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Listen, there are some distinct ways we know that we dwell in God and God dwells in us. Premier one is love. We keep his commandments. Premier that commandment of love God and love others. All the other commandments hang on those two. You can know that the Spirit of God dwells in you. It bears witness with your conscience. It bears witness with your understanding. It bears witness with your obedience. The more and more you love others, then less and less you fear judgment. It's just the way it is. All right. Look at this long purpose on your sheet as we turn back in our text. What's this long purpose? You know what? I purpose to examine my life to see if the Spirit of God within me bears witness I am a child of God. Because, number one, of how my conscience convicts me of what is right and wrong and to love others. Two, of what I know and do in that I demonstrate I love God by keeping his commandments of loving the brother. And then number three, of not fearing to confess Jesus as my Savior and of not fearing judgment. Now, back here in Romans 8, looking at verse 17, connected to the blessing of being assured I am a child of God is knowing as a child of God I have an inheritance. Look at this inheritance. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7 says this, wherefore art thou no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We are heirs. Now, from whom do we receive our inheritance? Well, from God, our Father. Now, this verse also tells us that we are joint heirs with Christ. It's because you and I are one with Christ through faith in Christ, we are joint heirs in Christ. Joint heirs of all the spiritual blessings, both now and in the future. Listen to Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Because you and I are in Christ, we are blessed with this wonderful inheritance. Now, one of the present blessings is to suffer with Christ. We know that from a passage in Philippians. Let me just quickly read it to you. He says it like this. He says, I'm reading Philippians 1, verse 29. And he says, for unto you is given in behalf of Christ. This is a gift. Not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict ye saw in me, and now you hear to be in me. That's a gift from God, to suffer for his sake. But there's another gift here. The future blessing is what? To be glorified with Christ. It's a gift to suffer for Christ now. And it will be a gift to be glorified with him in the hereafter. Now, these next verses in Romans are going to speak to both our suffering and our glorification. But that will be for next week, Lord willing. Final purpose for the day, take a look at it. I purpose to give thanks unto the Lord that God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit. I am a child of God and thus an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Now, these are three of the blessings that come when you and I are being led by the Spirit of God, when we walk in the Spirit of God. God will aid us. God will give us access. And God will give us assurance of that wonderful inheritance that we have in heaven. Let's give praise to God. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. Lord, we thank you that indeed we are being led of the Spirit. It's our desire that this morning, oh, to be even led more consistently of the Spirit. There's times, Father, when each and every one of us in this room, we go the way of the flesh versus going the way of the Spirit. So it's our desire that by your great grace and mercy and by our diligence to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, that we would be led more and more of the Spirit and less of the flesh. That we would walk more and more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. And those times, Lord, that we slip and fall, that we would be quick to get up, dust ourselves off, and get back walking, being led by the Spirit of God. Father, we are so thankful that as we are being led of the Spirit, we are the sons of God, that we have been adopted as your children with all the blessings that are bestowed upon your children. Yet, indeed, we have an eternal inheritance because we are in Christ and Christ is in us, especially evidenced by us keeping your commandments, that great commandment of loving you and loving others, of confessing our faith in Christ, no fear of man, and no fear of judgment, because the love of Christ just pours out from our heart and from our lives as we are led by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing in our lives. May Christ be seen more and more in us this week by what we say, by what we do. May others be mindful that we are indeed being led of the Spirit. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.